Start recording. Hello, my name is James Entian. I'd like to welcome all of our listeners and our speaker today to our summit entitled Breakthrough Fear and Self-Doubt. Discover how to overcome fears, phobias, and gain the confidence to take control of your life. I am your host on this groundbreaking free interview series where I will interview 21 different leading experts over 21 days on how we can break through our fears and our self-doubt. My hope is that our 21 experts who are masters in their field will help us to understand the causes and the roots of our fears, phobias, anxieties, and will also share with us tips, strategies, secrets on how we can overcome our fears and phobias, so that we can gain the confidence we need to take control of our lives. I am so excited to welcome our guest speaker today, Linda Popke. Linda, how are you?
I'm great, James. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Linda, I want to make sure, did I say your last name okay?
Popke. Popke, yes, that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. The title for our talk today is Overcoming Fear of Business Success. Linda, please tell us a bit about yourself and what do you do?
Okay, well, I'm the president and founder of a strategic marketing company called Leverage to Market Associates. And what we do is we help transform organizations through powerful marketing performance. And I work with everything from small businesses and consultants all the way up to mid-sized companies and large Fortune 500 enterprises. I've been involved, I mentor and I coach consultants and entrepreneurs. I teach marketing workshops. I've taught at San Francisco State. I've taught at University of California, Santa Cruz Extension Program and taught an online program for West Virginia University. So I've taught in a lot of different places. And I've also written some workshops. I've done some workbooks and I've written some books, et cetera. And I'm just about to release a book called Marketing Above the Noise, Leveraging Timeless Principles and New Realities for Strategic Advantage. And that will be released early 2015. So that's sort of what I do.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. What type of fears do you see in the business people and entrepreneurs that you coach and mentor?
Well, James, what I see is a couple of things. I mean, if you're talking about people going out on their own, there's a fear of kind of leaving the security, and I'll put that in quotes, of a full-time job with an employer and going out and doing something that they really have no safety net for. There's a fear of starting something new, and what happens if it doesn't work? We hear all these statistics about new businesses that fail and new businesses that just eat up the founders' lives so that their marriages and their personal lives fail. So there's all of those types of fears. But there's also a fear that you have a great idea that you think is fantastic, and you're going to go out there, and what if someone says, gee, that's not very good? So the idea that you could be discredited, that you could just not have very much support, and that people would not be necessarily saying, gee, this is fantastic. So there's a lot of a fear about what the future will bring. And one of the things that I have to say about the idea of leaving a security of a job is I think that's kind of a false fear, because in today's world, there really is no security in working for an employer. The days when you could go to work for a large company and be there 10, 15, 20, 30 years and know you're going to retire and get a pension and everything would be great, that's all behind us. So even if you have a job with an employer, number one, you may not like it, or you might like it today, and then you're reorganized or your manager leaves, you get put with another manager, you don't like that, or you may really feel that you're being stifled. And at any time, the business environment could change, the regulatory environment could change, all kinds of management could change, all kinds of things could change, and then what happens is you're out on the street in a very short period of time. So this idea that there's a fear of leaving the security of working for an employer is kind of a false fear. Now, certainly the fear of going out on your own, that's very reasonable. And certainly if you've never done that before, but there are workshops and there's a lot of material and things that you can go and look at to say, what do I need to cover? Do I have enough money in the bank to cover my expenses while I ramp up? Do I have things that will keep me going? Do I have a support system? Do I have people I can talk to and bounce ideas off of? So all of those things, I think, are reasonable fears, but they're also things that can be kind of ameliorated by going and thinking through that and saying, other people have done this before, so what do I need to do to make sure that this will work well? And certainly there's a fear of what the future brings, too, which is what's going to happen tomorrow? What if the economy changes? What if the stock market crashes? What if this happens? What if that happens? And you can be kind of tied up in those fears, too, and you have to kind of push that back a little bit and say, you know what, I can't worry about everything. There's only a certain number of things that are really reasonable to happen, and those are the things that I should really focus on.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of glad you brought that up because certainly that was the fear that I had, you know, several years ago when I wanted to leave engineering and go into something else and start my business. And I certainly had a lot of fear that prevented me from doing that. And for me, it was mainly fear of that unknown. I was comfortable where I was in engineering, but I just didn't have the comfort level, the confidence to move outside of that environment. Is that something normal?
Absolutely. I mean, we do fear the unknown. We don't know what's out there, and that's reasonable because, you know, if you're hiking in the middle of the desert, it's quite reasonable there might be some animals out there that could bite you like a snake or attack you like a bear or something. So it's reasonable to fear things we don't know. And what we need to do is to peel away kind of the layers of the onion to understand what things we need to be afraid of and what things we don't. So, for example, to use the hiking example, if you're going to be hiking in a strange area, you can talk to people and say, there's five kinds of snakes. Four of them are not poisonous. If you see them, you're fine. If you see the fifth one, here's what you do. So you're prepared and you kind of peel away that big anxiety and you really focus on, say, here are the things that are reasonable to be concerned about and here's the things we don't really need to worry about. So one of the things to do is to look at kind of the worst possible scenario. You talked about leaving the engineering world, going into business for yourself. One of the things to say is, what is the worst possible thing that could happen if this business doesn't succeed? Well, my guess is the sun's going to come up tomorrow, and you're still going to be as healthy as you are today, and your family is probably not going to disown you, and your friends aren't going to stop talking to you. So what's reasonable? Well, I could lose a lot of money. If I have a big investment, I might lose my investment. I might even, you know, have to go borrow against my house or something. But you can start to think about what the worst possible scenario is. And then you say, well, how do I adjust for that? And would that be so bad? And in most cases, if you're going into business for yourself, the worst possible thing that could happen if you don't succeed is that you go back and get a job with someone else, right? Mm-hmm. And so you say, well, okay, if I don't succeed here, before all those horrible things happen and before, you know, I'm out on the street penniless and homeless, I can go get another job with someone else. And so you know that there's a kind of an escape valve and a place that you can go. And as long as you focus on knowing those things in advance, then you say, okay, fine, it's not as bad as it could be. And you also, I think the other thing you need to do is to say, what are the things that I think might happen and how can I prepare for them? So, for example, it may take a while until I get paid, until I start having my first clients or my first customers. So how do I prepare for that? Well, before you go out, you make sure that you're if you have the luxury of still working for an employer, you pay off all your bills as much as you can. You get yourself a good line of credit. You pay down your credit card. So you have yourself in a good financial position, so you have a cushion. Ideally, you probably want to have 6 to 12 months of living expenses in the bank so that you have some money to rely on. So then you're not worried if something happens and you don't get a new client and get paid day one. You're expecting those kinds of things. You also might want to look and say, well, gee, if I'm not getting recognition, no one knows I'm out here. What do I do? Okay, well, I can solve that by I can go out and I can talk to everybody I know previously, and I can tell them I'm in a new business, and who can they refer me to? Maybe they don't use my services, but they might know someone. So who do you know who might know someone like me? So how do I get my name out there? So you can go through these kind of various things that are sort of unknowns that are scary and quantify them and say, what do I need to do here? How can I avoid it? Just and to use an analogy, it's kind of like your health. You may be afraid of getting a bunch of bad diseases as you get old, but you say, you know, if I'm afraid of certain things, I know if I exercise, I lower my risk of heart disease or diabetes. I know if I eat correctly, I may not get certain types of cancers. So it doesn't eliminate 100%, but you can do what's within your control to say, I know if I'm in better physical shape and I exercise and I eat well, that I have a less likelihood of getting sick. And that's sort of what you do with your business, too. You say, here are the things that I should be doing, and if I do these things, I can lower my risk of certain things happening.
I see. Now, why do you think fear of success is as much a problem as fear of failure?
Here's what I see. A lot of entrepreneurs are really afraid of being successful. And that sounds kind of like a contradiction, but they do have this kind of startup mentality, which is I just need to get through the next day and I need to get to the next level, and they don't really know what they'll do with success. And I think a lot of it comes from this kind of inner voice that says, well, am I really good enough to be successful? Am I really good enough to run this business? What if this is really a dumb idea and nobody knows it yet? There's a very famous theory about this they call the imposter syndrome, which is, you know, I'm really not as good as you think I am. I'm an imposter, but you just don't know it yet. And a lot of us have that. And a lot of us have it in various aspects of our lives, but certainly when it comes to starting a business, it's like, gee, I don't really know much about this, and maybe someday people will wake up and realize that I'm not as good as I make out to be. And the way to get around that is to really stop and look at all the things that you have done that are of value. Certainly, if you're going out and starting a new business, I'm presuming that you have some kind of track record somewhere. You have an idea. You've worked in an industry. You've got experience. And you start to make a list of all the things that make you a good candidate to start the business. And once you do that, you can sort of say to yourself, gee, I'm not such an imposter after all. This is something I can really go out and do successfully. A lot of people, I think, also are concerned about how their life will change. You know, will my friends and family still treat me the same? Will I actually need to be looking for different friends? Obviously, you can't look for different family, but sometimes when you become successful, some of the friends and colleagues you had on the way up look at you differently. And if you're making more money than a lot of the people you used to associate with, sometimes that's an uncomfortable situation. Sometimes it doesn't matter, but sometimes you need to actually go out and change the people that you're with because you're at a different level of success and you need to be associated with people who are also looking to strive forward and be successful. So I think part of it is also understanding what the best possible outcome could be. So sometimes we think too small. We think, gee, if I just get through the next month or the next year with my new business, that's really where I want to be. And that's all I can think of. Well, then the idea takes off, and you haven't envisioned what that entails. And it might involve more of your time. It might involve a bigger investment in terms of money. You might have to make investments in terms of hiring employees or opening new locations or doing all kinds of things. So one of the things to look at is to say, if I were sitting here a year from now and my business was amazingly successful, what would I be celebrating? So, James, if you and I were working together, I would ask you that. And you might tell me, well, I've closed so many new clients, or I've generated so much new business, or all kinds of different things. But if you can make that list of all the things that you might be celebrating, then you can look at and say, that's success. And that's what I'm really aiming for. And sometimes you want to aim for those things, and then you want to say, what happens if I were given, if all the obstacles were taken away from me, if money was not an option or an issue, if time was not an issue, if I had all the resources in the world, what would success look like? And how successful could I be? And if you then start to envision that, then you can start you may not get there right away, but at least you have an idea in your mind, and its success doesn't seem so scary. So for a lot of us, even though failure is scary, success is scary too, and sometimes it's even more scary. And I see businesses that don't, you know, large organizations that don't plan for success. They'll put out a promotion or a marketing campaign, and it'll be wildly successful, and they just have no idea what to do with the people who respond. And you're mm-hmm. sitting there as a marketing person saying, that makes no sense. So it's not an unusual thing, but it's something we need to think about.
Okay. As I was doing my research here, found out that there's such thing as fear of earning income. Have you come across that?
Well, yeah, it is sometimes. I think fear of earning income, again, it's one of those things you say, well, wouldn't we be afraid of not earning income? But sometimes I think, again, if you're earning more money, then different things happen. You're expected to behave differently. Maybe you're expected to go to different events or be in different social circles. Maybe the people who you're around aren't earning as much money as you. So I think that's a reasonable fear that people have, and the way to get around that, I think, is to say, what happens if I earn this money? Again, what is the best thing that can happen? And let's write that down and be clear about it. And what is the worst thing that can happen? You know, will people come and treat me differently because they think I earn more money? Will they be asking me for loans or to do things for them? And in that case, what will I say? You know, how will I act? If I earn more money, what will I do with it? People, I think, are also afraid of perhaps becoming a person they don't like because they make more money. Well, the bottom line is you have to make enough money to support yourself and your family before you can start helping other people. When you get on an airplane, they always do the safety announcements, and they say, put on your own oxygen mask before helping others. So you have to be able to support yourself before you can support others. So one of the things you might think about is to say, if I were to earn a lot more money, what are the good things I would do? What are the causes I would support? What are the places that I might use that money, spread it around to help other people? And I think that's one way to get around this fear of, if I'm earning more money, how does that change me?
Okay. You talked about the work that you do. You help a lot of companies, a lot of the bigger companies. How do you do that? Is it a classroom kind of thing? Is it a one-on-one kind of thing? Is it a phone resourcing, or how do you do that?
Well, I work in different ways. I'm a consultant, so I'll come into an organization, and they'll very often say, we have a situation we want to improve here. How do we help get into a new market? How do we increase our business? How do we work in whatever it is? And so very often I'll work with them to help understand what the processes are. Sometimes it's to actually develop or deploy set of marketing initiatives. So that's with larger organizations. With smaller entrepreneurs and business owners, I work with them kind of in a coaching situation. So they'll come to me and say, I want to launch a new business, or I want to grow my business, and, let's work together and let's set some goals, and can you help me work through those?
Okay. What kind of business, what can business people do to get over these fears?
So I think we've talked about some of the things. One of the things I think that's really important is to have a strategy. And to say, here's what I want to do. And I think look at a strategy as sort of like having a GPS. And with a GPS, there's really two pieces of information you need to know. One is, where am I now? And the second is, where do I want to go? And the third piece is sort of, how do I want to get there? If you're doing this on your phone or in your car, the GPS will say, do you want to take the most direct route on the freeway? Do you want to avoid the freeways, et cetera? But if you know where you are now, in terms of your business and what the issues are and the concerns and where you want to be, and then you come up with that strategy that says, how am I going to get from here to there? And you plan and you set reasonable goals that says, here's what I'm going to do for the next 3 months, 6 months, year and a half, et cetera. And then the important thing, a lot of people set goals and then they go off and they execute and they totally forget about the goals that they've set. So what's really important is to go back and stop yourself and say, time for a reset here. Let's look at some metrics and how are we doing. Let's check in and see what's going on. If you think about a sports contest, there's always a timeout where the coach comes and says to the players, okay, that play didn't go exactly as planned. Now let's see what we need to do next. a baseball coach, you know, the pitching coach will go out and talk to the pitcher, you know, and so there's always that kind of reset that says, okay, let's see where we are. Now, sometimes you may be exactly on track, and maybe you want to even up the ante and say we're doing so well that it's time to even, to look at a bigger potential payoff. But sometimes you say, you know, that's not quite working the way it should be. So one of the things that you need to do is be able to look at things before it gets out of hand and say, what do I need to change? Where do I need to dial something up? Where do I need to dial something down? So you get over that and you start to really, again, quantify, put this out into a really kind of a logical framework of things that you can look at. And that takes things out of the unknown. It takes things out of the dark. If you think about it, we're all kind of scared of what might be in the dark. But if you turn the light on, things that look scary in the dark are just ordinary objects. So the more you can kind of lay these ordinary objects out, so to speak, in the light, the easier it is to get rid of this fear.
Okay. How long is this process? So when someone comes to you and say, hey, I need some help here, is it weeks? Is it months? Is it, you know, how long does it take?
Or well,
does it just
depends.
Depend on the type of
Depends really on what you're looking for. I have a couple of kind of standard processes. I mentor people, which is where they come to me, and they have access to me for over a period of 6 months. And they can call me, they can, you know, they can email me, they can text me, whatever. But they come to me when they have an issue. And usually after 6 months, we sort of resolve some things and they go on. I also have a more intensive coaching program. And that's usually for 3 months. And in that point, they say, Linda, I have a goal, and I really need your help to get there. And so we set very specific goals, and we have calls every week or every other week where I say, James, last week you said you're going to do this. Did you do it or not? And if not, let's talk about what got in your way and how we get to what your goals are for this week. So it's a much more intensive, very close working relationship, and that lasts about 3 months. Sometimes I have people who say, I just need to pick your brain and to get a good sense of what I need to do with my business. Let me just come and work with you for a day. And so there are cases where I work with an organization. Sometimes it's a new organization getting off the ground, or it's someone who says, you know, things aren't going right. I need to kind of reset and go in a different direction. And we'll spend a day together and just go over all of their business stuff, all of their marketing stuff, and then they go off and do what they need. And sometimes they'll come back with questions, but they've gotten pretty much what they need to go on their own for that day. So we're not talking about years here or long periods, but it depends on what you're looking for.
Okay. What other types of self-doubts do you see in the business world?
Well, I think one of the key things that I see, that's a really good question, one of the key things I see is a lack of self-esteem, where, you know, I may look like I know what I'm doing and I may put on a good pretty face to outsiders, but deep inside, I'm just not quite sure. And that reflects itself in many ways. I work with my mentor, this man named Alan Weiss, and he talks about your first sale needs to be to yourself. So if you don't believe in yourself, it's really hard for you to sell me and what it is you're offering. I have to know that you really believe in yourself. And that means that you dress appropriately, you present yourself well, you speak with confidence, and you really kind of, say to me that this is someone I want to be associated with. So having low self-esteem is something that we all have at certain times in our lives and something we have to work on because it can really undermine everything we're doing. When you're in business for yourself, you are the product, you are the service. I mean, yes, there's a product or service people buy, but they buy it from you because they have a relationship with you. So you become the face of the company, and you really need to believe in yourself, and you need to make me believe in you so that I'm willing to trust you and work together with you.
Okay. So can someone just pick up the phone and say, hey, Linda, I need help, and how would they go about doing that?
They could email me, which is Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at Popky, as in Peter, O-P-K-Y, .com, and I'm happy to chat with anyone. I also have I have a website, which is www.leverage, L-E-V-E-R-A-G-E, number2market.com, leveragetomarket.com, and there's all kinds of resources there, including a gift for your listeners. if you're interested in just some tips about how to move your business along, I've got something called my Top 10 Resources, and that's available at leveragetomarket.com/top_10.html. So top_10.html. And there are something like 17 or 18 different lists of resources if you're with a nonprofit, if you're with a professional services firm, if you want to find out about social media or branding. There's lists of just things that you need to do to go out there and just some ideas. And so there's lots of resources. I do weekly videos called Just a Moment for Marketing. Those are available on my website. I also have a weekly email blast called Top of Mind Thursday, which is just a quick thought about something that's going on in the world and how that might impact your business. If you're interested in subscribing to that, there's no charge for that either, and you can just email me at linda@popkey.com.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. Again, I'm James Ensign. You've been listening to an interview with Linda Popkey for Breakthrough Fear and Self-Doubt, How to Overcome Fears, Phobias, and Gain the Confidence to Take Control of Your Life. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, James. What a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks again. I'm just going to ask you to just tell our listeners again about where they can get that free gift from and give them that link again, please.
Okay. It is the website is Leverage to Market, and that's with a number 2. So it's www.leveragethenumber2market.com/top_10.html.
Okay, thank you, Linda.
Thank
for
you,
our listeners, over the next several days, we will continue to feature one expert per day, so please check your emails for more information from Breakthrough Fear and Self-Doubt Summit 2014. Again, thank you very much, Linda. I really appreciate you. Thanks.
My pleasure, James.
Okay, bye-bye.